You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
Mayong buntag sa inyong tanan, sa mga taga Mindanao o Visayas. I am a true blue Cebuano, gahi og dila. And naimbag, bigat kada kayo amamin kakabsat. Kada kayo nga taga Luzon, makasauak mete Ilocano. Although I'm from Mindanao, I grew up in a portion in Mindanao where there's a lot of people from Luzon. So I actually, let me tell you this, I actually thought I'm an Ilocano. Would you believe that? Lumaki ho ako, ang dami kong barkadang Ilocano. Up until the point where I actually wanted to be part of Samahang Ilocano. So linya na kaming ganun, tinignan yung mga papers, so sabi nung aming master, paano naging Ilocano to? Cebuano to. So up until then, I really thought I was Ilocano. And I was so discouraged that I am actually Cebuano at that point. But thank God, the opportunity given to me being born in Mindanao has actually brought me, and I realized down the road that God has set me for missions. Because I could actually speak three or at least four Filipino languages fluently. So that was the beginning of my career in missions. I thought that was a disadvantage, but later on in life, I thought, wow, Lord, you really set me up for missions. Let me introduce to you our children and my family. Kaya nga sabi ni Pastor Winston kanina, our son was born in Sweden. This is our daughter. She was born in Mindanao. She's already 24 years old. She's taking a film right now at Meridian International. Our son Justin just turned 22 years old. So hindi na ho mga bata yung mga anak namin, young adults. And he's taking music business management. Getting into the music industry is a little bit of a challenge these days. Pero gustong gusto niya. So assembled in the Philippines, manufactured. Well, how do you do that? Assembled and manufactured in the Philippines, delivered in Sweden, Jakobsberg, in the city of Stockholm in Sweden. That was 22 years ago. My wife and I had the privilege of helping plant a church in the city of Stockholm. And little did I know that the Lord would call me and bring me to Victory. And I would honestly say that the last 14 and a half years has been one of the most fruitful years for my wife and I. I've been married to my wife for the last 26 years. Medyo nag-umpisa kami when we were in our mid-20s, so 51 years old, but loving my wife still as like a 25 years old boy. We just celebrated our 25th year anniversary. Last year, so this year is our 26th year, and next month actually. Okay, so we are talking about Uncharted. Last week, as mentioned already, si Pastor June shared with us on cities. We go to cities to plant churches. And this week, I'm going to talk about, today, I'm going to talk about heroes. Uncharted, the title of our series is Uncharted because it is not mapped out, not surveyed, not investigated, or unexplored. In other words, in the eyes of missions, hindi ho natin kilala yung mga cities na yon. I don't want you to think that in our eyes, they don't exist. They do exist, pero hindi ho na, wala ho tayong mga church plant pa doon. And that's the reason why we call this series Uncharted, because there are cities in the world that we don't have an existence as far as in the eyes of our missions department in every nation, wala ho tayo doon. And so Lost Cities was the first week, and our goal is to really be able to get all of us to think that reaching cities and empowering local leaders to help reach and disciple their cities, nations, and the rest of the world. Yan hong goal natin. And so I hope that you have been enjoying our series, kasi yan ho, mission is a very big part of Victory. Okay? And the reason why we are here today is because 30 years ago, a team of missionaries came to the Philippines. And in fact, si Pastor Winston is one of the originals who got reached out to the campuses. Tama ho ba, Pastor Winston? One of the few good men that stands for God up to today. And because of that outreach team, we are a fruit of that ministry. And young students came to the Philippines, started church at the University Belt. And the story will tell us today that we are a part of that, a product of that. Reaching cities has actually an impact in our country as well. We are, as sabi nga ni Pastor Winston kanina, we are in 15 locations. One church in 15 locations, only in Metro Manila. And we have churches all over the Philippines as well. Just because of a team that reached the city of Manila, 30 years later, we are able to plant other churches as well. Not only that, we are also planting churches outside of the Philippines. In fact, if you look around you, you have different mga decorations on the wall to signify that we really have a heart for the nation. And I will tell you stories a little bit more later, but I just want to honor those who have planted a church here in the Philippines. Ito ho yung mga staff nila, natin noong unang panahon, hindi nila tayo, staff natin noong unang panahon. And fast forward to today, ito na ho yung mga itsura nila. If you go back a little bit, si Pastor June, medyo young looking pa, up until now pa rin naman, young looking. Si Pastor Manny, medyo manipis-nipis pa ng konti at that time. Si Pastor Jonathan, manipis pa rin po. At this is our apostolic team now. Medyo kumapal na ng konti. But thinking about this, this is where I work. This is part of the Victory Pioneer staff. Now, 30 years ago, si Pastor Steve, I don't think he would be thinking na 30 years down the road, he will be taking this picture with the staff in Pioneer. I show you this picture because, only because, a lot of those in the photo right there are below 30 years old. We started a church 30 years ago, couple of months ago, si Pastor Steve had this opportunity to speak to us, and it was a privilege for us to have him there. And we took this picture to signify that 30 years down the road, something happened when you obey God, and when you reach a city, you can actually reach out to young people as well. All right? So first week, we talk about cities, and we are actually a fruit of that. And I just don't want us to think na cities lang tayo. We actually honor those who are actually being part of traditional missions as well. In fact, I was introduced as a guy who actually worked with Youth to the Mission a long time ago. Si Pastor Earl nandito, kasama ko yan sa Youth to the Mission ng unang panahon. If you know Pastor Alfred, I met him when he was 17 years old. Can you believe that? He was with me in a team that went around Mindanao when he was 17 years old. Hindi ho namin siya tinanggap kaagad, pero kasi 17 years old, illegal pa hong tumanggap ng 17 years old at that time. Pero si Pastor Alfred, magaling magsalita eh. So, sabi namin, sige nga, tanggap ka na. Sige, sama ka na sa amin. But that was a long time ago. And through to form today, we are so happy we're part of Victory and we are your missionaries as well. But nonetheless, traditional missions is actually something that is also good. They're doing their best to reach out to tribal missions, and hats off to them, unreached people group. And can you imagine, okay, ako lang naman siguro nag-iisip nito. Can you imagine lang if Pastor Winston and Pastor Mark and Pastor Romel will go to traditional missions, ano kaya ang itsura nila? Naisip nyo ba yon? O ako lang? Well, let me show this. In case lang, in the event lang, in the event na pupunta sila sa traditional missions, ganito ho ang itsura nila. O, di ba? Pwede, no? Pwede mag-traditional missions. Ah, tatanggalin na natin yan. Baka matanggal ako sa trabaho. Alright. Ako lang naman, nag-iisip, okay? I am not putting them down, but just ini-imagine ko lang, paano kaya kung si Pastor Winston magta-traditional missions? Guwapo pa rin, di ba? Anyway, second week na tayo, we're talking about heroes, empowering locals, disciple the nations. That's our tagline. That is our heart's desire. we go and plant churches, not only so that missionaries could stay for the rest of their lives, but actually our heart's desire is to reach out to local leaders. In other words, same thing that Pastor Steve did when they came to the Philippines and Pastor Rice, they reached out to the locals, and now our local leaders are doing such a great job and reaching out the Philippines as well. And not only that, that is the exact model that we have when we go to the nations. We plant churches not so that we could stay for the rest of our lives, but we plant churches because we believe that local leaders can do a better job than foreign missionaries. That's the setup we have this morning. Why don't you stand on your feet this morning? Let's get into the Word of God. Is that okay? All right. Acts chapter 14. That's the basis that we have today. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 all the way to 27. If you have your Bibles with you, read with me Acts 14, 21. Let's start with verse 21. It says, "When they had preached the gospel to the city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." Verse 23, it says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they have believed." Verse 24, "Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they have had fulfilled." Verse 27, "And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how they had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you will open the message for us this morning, that we will be able to get the word that you wanted us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take your seats. The scriptures that we've just read is actually part of Paul's missionary journey. His first missionary journey happens around the area right here. If you remember, on chapter 9, the Apostle Paul got born again. He had an encounter with Jesus. Later on, he was brought to Antioch, and that's where he got trained. And so when you start reading the scripture, and when you start looking at his first missionary journey, dito ho siya nag-umpisa sa Antioch, and he sailed down to Cyprus, and he went up here to Perga. He turned around and to Iconium, Derbe, Iconium, Antioch, Pisidia, Attalia, and back to Antioch. And verse 29 started in the city of Derbe. Okay, so I just want you to have that perspective at the back of your mind. And all those churches were established in the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. Now, why did the Apostle Paul went into those cities? Studies would tell us that he went to those cities because those cities were actually part of the Roman road. It's located along the Roman road. It's like a little sea where everything happens. And alam natin, pag merong daan, may mga negosyo. Diba? Hindi po ba? Pag may mga pier, may mga negosyo yan. Parang Pilipinas lang yan. Kung saan yung highway, maraming businesses na mga nangyayari. And at that time, cities were established in that Roman road. And the Apostle Paul, with his mindset, went into those areas and actually start planting churches. And we have to thank him for taking that opportunity to plant churches, because verse 27 says, he opened the doors for the Gentiles to worship God. During his time, I want us to look at me for a second here. During his time, the gospel was only for the Jews. In fact, there was a big struggle. Why are we going to the Gentiles? There was a struggle. If you look at the scripture, there was a debate. Ba't ba natin yung mga Gentiles na yan, dapat hindi natin ipipreach ng gospel? But thank God, he uses the Apostle Paul, who had a great heart to open the door for the gospel to get into the Gentiles. And so we have that here today. In fact, if he didn't open the gospel, the door to the Gentile, I think God will still use a different person, but he was the one who actually took that opportunity to plant the churches outside of Jerusalem. In fact, okay, when you start talking about Christians, it was in Antioch that they started to use the word Christian, and that started the journey of Christianity. In those times also, when you think of Christians, hindi ho mababait lahat ang tingin ng tao sa Christian. In fact, may pagkasubersibo ng konti. No, it's a little bit subversive because they were against establishment during their time. Pag sinabing Christian, hindi ho lang puro mababait katulad ni Pastor Winston, looking good, looking mabait. Hindi ho lang. Kasi may pinaglalaban sila. Ang pinaglalaban nila yung kanilang encounter with God and how they have encountered Him. In fact, there were a lot of Acts 8:1, they were scattered. They went through a lot of testings and trials. The Apostle Paul himself, if you look at chapter 13, he was beaten up. Muntik na siyang mamatay just to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Alam niyo ba yon? Read 13 and 14. I don't have time to do that this morning, but I have time to share stories with you on what we do in missions as well. Okay lang ba yon? Is that okay? Well, you have no choice. I will do that this morning. Acts chapter 14, 23. This is where we bounce up. Okay, sabi to, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church. I want us to know that the Apostle Paul had the mindset that also he just did not plant a church. He actually established leaders in the churches as well. Now, what does that mean for us today? I said earlier, we go and plant churches. Okay. When we go and plant churches, exactly how it was modeled to us here, that's exactly what we do outside as well. We reach out to the locals so that they themselves can reach their countries or their cities. The Apostle Paul have his leadership development. This is how he did it. He appointed local leaders in such a short period of time. Okay, a study shows that he did not stay for a long period of time. In fact, he went back and established leaders in the church. And I am so thankful that that's what we do as well in this church. Tignan nyo yung church natin sa Victory. Ang babata ho ng mga pastor, di po ba? Except me, I'm 51 years old. Medyo inangat ko ho ng konti yung statistic natin sa age. I will not mention Pastor Ed na. I'm sure he also increases the statistics of our Victory pastors. But nonetheless, we have a lot of young people. In fact, if you look at the campus missionaries that we have, ang babata ho. Di po ba? Matatanda ba life box missionaries natin dito? You understand what I mean? Yeah. All right? Now, not only that, but he did not require a degree. I am so thankful that when I started the ministry, nobody actually said, okay, are you a graduate of a seminary? In fact, in the 80s, that was what was happening. All right? I wanted to go to the Foursquare missionary journey, but I was denied. So I went to Youth with a Mission, who accepted a guy like me who didn't know anything. And in fact, I didn't know how to share the scripture at that time. I was trained here in Antipolo Hotel. Sumulong Highway was not like this in 1984. In fact, there was no MRT at that time. Okay? And I remember, sa Hinulugang Taktak. Alam nyo ba, mayroong lugar dyan sa Antipolo, Hinulugang Taktak. And they trained us to go knocking on doors. Eh, hindi ako marunong. Galing ako sa street scene. Galing ako sa ibang mundo. I was a businessman before I got born again. I was a pharmacist. Let's just call it that way. I sold drugs for a living. Okay? Pharmaceutical ho yung hawak ko. So, let's just put it that way. I was a pharmacist by profession. I gave my life to the Lord. And so here we are. We will knock on doors and we will share the gospel. Now, what would a pharmacy do sharing the gospel? I have no degree. I have no idea. So what I did was ask my friend, I will knock on the door. You share the gospel. I will take notes what you will say. Now, that's one. And then the hardest part is it will be done in Tagalog. Now, you have to understand, I'm fresh from Mindanao. I have to translate everything in Tagalog. I have to learn how to speak English because my partner is a foreigner. We would knock on doors. I have no idea what was happening. But thank God, I passed the stage. Okay naman. Some people got born again. Okay? did not require a full spiritual maturity. And this is what I like about what we have in Victory. We are, as long as you're one chapter ahead, you're okay, right? Do we believe that here in Metro East? As long as you're one chapter ahead, it's the same thing that the apostle did. The apostle Paul did. As long as we are one chapter ahead, we can actually share what we have learned from God. Okay? And we don't need... Amen. Did not appoint themselves as permanent leaders. And I like this. You know, I'll share to you a story of what I thought a leader would be in the country of Myanmar. But later on, we have to pull him aside. Even for me, I don't need... My security is in God alone. I could be taken out of my job showing that photo. Baka I would... Tomorrow, wala na akong trabaho. Pwede rin yon. I can be disqualified. Advantages of raising local leaders. There are so much advantages of raising local leaders. They understand their own culture better than the foreigners. Okay? What else? They can preach the gospel in their language. Okay? No more translation needed. No one can more effectively reach a nation than their local people. I so believe that. You know, our growth in the Philippines actually happened when the local leaders took the initiative of preaching the gospel to the locals. They had sense of ownership and burden over their own people and nation. That is so true. That is so true with us here in Victory as well. And last, if a church depended on a foreign leader, when the leaders has to evacuate, the church could close down. Well, that is because in some countries that we go, it's not as free as where we are here in the Philippines. So those are the advantages, and I went very quickly on why Paul raised local leaders. Now, let me put that into our context when we plant churches. We have three successful nations where we started a church and turned it over to local leaders. And I want you to know that it is not just me talking here. I want you to know that Victory Metro East is a part of this as well. Can you say amen to that? All right, let me start with China. You probably heard of the country called China, right? Alam nyo ba yung China? Sabi nga, everything God created. Ano nga yun? God created the world. God created Adam and Eve, and the rest is created in China. Sabi nga, di ba? Well, China is a good example of how we started a church. This guy right here is Pastor Jackie. Today we call him Pastor Jackie. You know, when we meet him a couple years ago, it was an outreach team from the Philippines, and ito ho yung nangyari. Na-meet ni Pastor Jonathan Bukobo, si Jackie, sa bus stop. Jackie wants to learn English. What a great opportunity to meet a foreigner, 10 days missionary, meet in a bus stop. He wants to learn how to speak English, and definitely, he was so excited that he could finally learn how to speak English and practice with Filipinos. So, yun yung una. The second one, he got invited to speak to them in English. Plus, he could get a free meal. What a good deal. English, libreng pagkain. Oh, di okay. Pag estudyante ka, ganun yun, di ba? I was a student at one point. First 2 weeks were good meals. The next 2 weeks, it was memorized all the time. Okay? First 2 weeks, fried rice. The second 2 weeks, memorize. Alam nyo ba yun? Meron kayong rice na ganun, memorize. But, China was a great story of what it means to reach out to a local and eventually get that local to lead the church. Today, Pastor Jackie is our senior leader in our movement in China. Can you praise God for that? English and free meal, get into the kingdom of God. What a great outreach that was. Today, we actually have an opportunity to be part of the underground church movement in China. The biggest church in the world today is found in China. And we have an opportunity of raising local leaders. Now, imagine going to heaven, worshiping God with a lot of Chinese people only because we sent an outreach team to China. Imagine that? No. Okay. Laos is another good story. Pastor Irwin went to Laos several years ago, was able to to establish a church and turn it over to this guy right here. He's our senior pastor together with this guy. These are two local guys, and he is a Filipino married to a local. He's actually from this church? No, Novaliches. No? Green Hills? Oh, but he's from Victory. Right? They're so big, I forget all our missionaries already. But let me tell you a story of this guy right here. This guy, Ted, is actually a Buddhist monk. He met a local outreach team. I mean, local meaning Filipinos that we sent to Laos several years ago. Started to talk to this outreach team. And he didn't believe of who Jesus is. Alam niyo yung Buddhist monk, di ba? Nakakita na ba kayo ng Buddhist monk? Right? He is not a Buddhist monk anymore. He's a pastor. So, in his previous life, he was a Buddhist monk. And he didn't believe in Jesus Christ up until a team prayed for his father and got healed. A healing happened in the family that he realized that, hey, the God deserved must be real. Today, fast forward to today, he is our senior pastor in a country called Laos. Imagine this. Laotians will worship God with us one day because of your prayer, because of your going, and because of your giving. Imagine that with me this morning. Can you praise God for that? Right? It is not only the work of missionaries, but it is a work of a corporate church called Victory, planting churches, raising up locals so that those locals could reach out to their nations as well. Third story that I can share with you this morning is in the country of Myanmar. Myanmar is a country that we went in 2001. And in 2001, hindi ho bukas yung Myanmar at that time. It was under a very strong military junta. And when we landed in Myanmar, you know, my wife and my kids have never been to Myanmar. I just brought them with me and I said, let's move to Myanmar because Pastor Steve said, I will go to Myanmar. And I want you to know that Philippines was not Pastor Steve's first choice. His heart is actually to go to Myanmar. He didn't know about the Philippines. He was just dragged to the Philippines. And guess what? He is what we call an accidental missionary. His heart is in Myanmar. But that was fulfilled when we finally planted a church in Myanmar. When we landed in Myanmar, as I said, it was a closed country. We were followed by military intelligence. The one assigned to me was a taxi driver. A taxi in Myanmar has no word called taxi. Hindi ho puti, hindi ho yellow. It's a private car. And I was so surprised. This guy keeps following me wherever I go. I go to hotel, he's there. I go to the mall, he's there. I go out from my house, he's there. It's like, wow, what a convenient way of doing things. I have a private driver with me. So eventually I found out, because he keeps asking questions like, do you like my country? Do you like the leaders in my country? Do you like our economy? It's like, this guy is asking questions I will not even think and imagine. Later on, a year after, until I found a job in the hotel, because as a missionary, you need to find visas. Landed a job in the hotel. And in the hotel, I got a chance to get to know the military intelligence in the area. And it's like, this guy used to follow me. Ah, now it makes sense. He is my military intelligence. And him, without knowing, we would be friends down the road. But that was very difficult. Just to share the gospel, you cannot open the Bible in public. There was even a point where I told Pastor Robert, maybe I will just go home. Pastor Robert Turn was our senior pastor and pioneer. And I told him, maybe I just go home. Ang hirap pala dito. You cannot open your Bible in public places. And at that time, there was no smartphone. Okay? This was 2001. Right? When the world was wanting to have a globalization, Myanmar was shutting everything around his border as well. But nonetheless, today, this picture was taken several years ago. I think last year. This is the church 12th year anniversary. This is our church staff right here. We were able to minister and build with Pastor Jan. Pastor Jan Tang is a local person that is now our senior pastor in Myanmar. He actually studied in ATS and earned a doctoral degree on missions as well, or ministry, doctor in ministry. Him and his wife have three sons. They are leading our church in Myanmar and now planting started to plant the church in three different locations in the country of Myanmar. Now, that is God himself reaching out to those locals as well. He is just using us. And a lot of people, I believe, will worship God one day because you sent us to Myanmar, you give money to missions, you prayed for us, and here we are, being 10 years, 12 years down the road, we are able to reach out to these people. Another staff that we have in Myanmar is Kap. Kap was single when I met him, and, you know, he comes from a tribe called Chin. You know, dito sa Philippines, if you are from Mindanao and you come to Manila, para kang a little bit lower than the Tagalog speakers, di ba? Parang nahihiya mag-Cebuano. Nga nung maulaw man ka, eh, bisdak manggug ko. Inana ba? So, in Myanmar, it's different story. It's worse. You know, if you come from this tribe, you are like next to nothing talaga. But today, this guy, if it's clear, he's leading a business conference. He's actually building up young businessmen and women together with his wife, Seng Tue. And they are reaching out to small business establishments, you know, putting them together, teaching them what it means to lead and have good businesses with godly principles in it. Now, how many of you could say that nation will be changed one day? Right now, that happened only because a group in the Philippines called Victory sent us as missionaries, and you are part of that. I want you to know that this will not happen without your prayer, without your finances, without us, all of us going. And it was not just my wife and I who went there. There were a lot of 10 days outreach teams as well. Now, I want to go to a nation called Cambodia because... Now, I shared three countries because those three countries are proven that we can plant a church, turn it over to local. Here's another country called Cambodia, and I know that we are sending a team to Cambodia, right? So why don't we watch a video about Cambodia here?
Hello, my name is Tim. I'm a staff of Ebenezer Church Cambodia. Before I accepted Jesus Christ, I didn't know the purpose of my life. I felt that life was too heavy for me to carry. Those things caused me to be hopeless to the point of committing suicide. There was a group of friendly Filipinos approached me. They passionately talked to me, and then they shared the gospel to me. Thankfully, by the grace of God, I believe in Him. Nowadays, I see so much change in my life, the way I respond to the problems. God also opens my eyes to see a bigger vision, which is to change my nation with the gospel. I am also thankful to our Filipino missionaries who have planted the seed in our hearts. Thank you.
I share that with you because we have a lot of countries ready right now. Young local leaders are being trained, and one day they will take over those churches as well. As a church, we have planted 27, we are in 27 nations in Asia. Now imagine with us, okay, this is just a 30 years in the making. Imagine with me the countries that we will be going and plant churches. Many of those countries will worship God with us in heaven because we prayed, because we went, and because we give to missions. More countries to go, more churches to be planted, and more cities to go as well. I want us to know this is not just 1 month's initiative. This is a group of churches in the Philippines called Victory. We are 15 in one church in 15 location, and we have several churches outside of Metro Manila crying out to God, Lord, give us the uncharted cities of the world so that we can go plant and reach out to those locals, so that those locals themselves can actually make disciples to the nations that they are a part of. That is our heart's desire. That is why we called new heroes, because we're reaching out to the locals. And all of that said, because we have a response to make. At this point, I want us to know that all of that we do is a response to the Great Commission. This is not a program of a church. I want us to know that as a church, as Victory, as every nation, we responded to the Great Commission. What is Great Commission? When Jesus ascended, before Jesus ascended, alam natin namatay si Jesus for our sins, right? And we remember that every month during our communion. But after He resurrected, I want us to know, before He ascended to heaven, He said this to His disciple in Matthew 28:19-20. He said, "Therefore go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded you to go. Therefore go, because I will be with you till the end of the age." That's a great commission. My question for us as a church today, what is our response to the Great Commission? Church, as Victory in the Philippines, our response is to go to the cities, plant churches, reaching out to the locals so that those locals themselves can make disciples to the nations that they belong to. That is our heart's desire. In our world, that's what we do. We plant churches. Amen? Are you with me? That is our response to the heart of God. That Great Commission was pounded by Jesus to His disciples in the last 40 days that He was here on earth. He could have talked about other things, but what He did was talk to them, go and make disciples. That's what we do. Our initial response is we pray. We pray for the countries, and Pastor June shared this with us last week. He talked about all those five nations that we are going to get into. You know, we have staff, you know. God is an amazing God. We plan, you know, we have 2020 initiative. But that's going to happen because God is going to make it happen, not because we make a plan. How do we get involved? We're going to get involved. We're going to go. We're going to go into those five cities that was shared with us last week. You know, we're going to plant a church in Egypt, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Papua New Guinea, and Fiji. How do we get involved? We're going to give. And that's why we are here today in our last day of our series and our last Sunday of our series. We're going to ask everybody to get involved. If it is the will of God for us to make disciples, it is also His bill to pay for those. But He's going to use all of us to be a part in giving to missions. You know, I have seen God provide more than what I can think and imagine. You know, there were times when I don't have the money, but God provided in so many different ways. And I am here today to say thank you for giving to missions. My wife and I would always treasure our family as Victory because Victory has been giving to missions. We plant churches all over the world because there is a group of people in the Philippines called Victory who is sending missionaries, reaching out to locals, and that's what we do. We respond and we give because we want to advance the kingdom of God. Amen? Not the name of Victory, not the name of every nation. We're advancing the kingdom of God. Amen? Are you with me? Right? This is not just us going and spending your money. No. I want us to know that this is being a part. This is what we do as Christians. We are advancing the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen.